contact.
Too much time.
It's different.
The time is 1:45, and the date is March 18, 1983, the place is room 124, the hearing room located in the capital, judiciary hearing room located in the capital of Juneau, Alaska. Present for the judiciary hearing today are all members with the exception of Representative Hayes. We had matters at issue today, sponsor substitute for House Bill 100, which is an act relating to assault of a peace officer and firefighter or emergency responder. Due to action in the Senate today, in passing through the Senate today, a Judiciary Committee substitute for their Senate Bill 24, which addresses many of the issues that are covered in the sponsor substitute for House Bill 100. It's my desire at this time to just hold on to sponsor substitute for House Bill 100 until the Senate bill comes over and staff work the mutual areas of interest in the two bills that we decide whether to, with the sponsors on HB 200, whether they want to proceed with that bill or marry the bills or whatever they'd like to do. Representative Barnes?
Question, Mr. Chairman, did you say that the Senate bill has passed out of the Senate?
It's passed just out of the Senate today.
Or just out of the Senate committee?
No, it's passed out of the Senate today, okay. And it should be here, you know, Monday. And in light of that, I think we should do it. Representative Malone?
Well, Mr. Chairman, in my, as I want to say, why is it my, wow, I got this thing that looks like it's a printout of the bill status on Senate Bill 13 and this thing here.
100, sponsor substitute for 100, Representative Malone.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm talking about this other one that is on our table here today. Now, Senate Bill 13 is in the committee, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I made the mistake of opening more than one file at a time. I'm now totally confused. I have a House Bill 100 and then a sponsor substitute for House Bill 100 and then a CS for Senate Bill 24. Are those all on the same subject?
You didn't get the CS for Senate Bill 24 from us. That's something Senator Ziegler probably dropped on your table as he went by. That CS for Senate Bill 24 is the one that came out of the Senate today. That's the one I was just speaking of that addresses many of the issues covered in House Bill 100, which has turned into the sponsor substitute for House Bill 100.
Okay, then I'm just, CS for Senate Bill 13 is on an entirely different subject?
That's correct.
Okay, confuse me because we're referring to some of the same people tonight.
That's correct.
Okay, so let me get over there.
So what we want to do is if we pick up all the stuff that alludes to sponsor substitute for House Bill 100 and simply put it aside, I think in the interest of trying to expedite it in a fair and just manner, so we ought to just set aside until we look at that. And on to the second thing that was counted today, which is a three substitute for FB 13, which was a bill to an act relating to a crime of arson in the first degree. And it's this bill, as I understand it, was prepared to simply state that firefighters are people and clarify a defect that may have appeared in the statute where a judge failed to recognize them as persons.
Yeah, I think that's what got me confused. When we heard testimony on House Bill 100, wasn't that the issue that was raised in the testimony? And
yeah,
we had a big discussion and decided the bill didn't deal with it?
That's right. It's a portion of that, and let's...
It's not your intent to try to deal with the definition of the word people in House Bill 100 or Senate Bill 24.
Not now. The issue has been dealt with from three different angles. It's our intention to use this vehicle here to deal with that problem. I think it'll do it the quickest and cleanest for everybody.
What about the Dalmatians?
Gail, rescued here from the Department of Law. Gail, if you'd like to chat with us about this event, we'd like to hear from you. Since we are recording electronically, if you state your name for the record and
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
In a manner such as you will, I appreciate it.
For the record, my name is Gail Horesky. I'm an attorney with the Department of Law Criminal Division. You have before you, members of the committee, CS for Senate Bill number 13. Originally, the Department of Law appeared in the Senate Judiciary Committee and opposed this bill. Our position was that firefighters were clearly people within the intention of the statute, and there was never any definition or interpretation of that term otherwise. At that meeting, it was brought to my attention that there was the case in Fairbanks, that's the Markland case that I've mentioned before the committee earlier on the other hearing on the other bill, in which a judge did indicate that for purposes of the first degree arson statute, firefighters were not people. If I can explain to the committee my belief about what happened there, and it's totally my subjective belief, I haven't spoken to the judge involved, but the difference between arson in the first degree and arson in the second degree, which is a lesser crime, is whether or not people are placed in danger by the defendant's action. Arson in the first degree says intentionally damages property by starting a fire and by that act recklessly places another person in danger of serious physical injury. That's what makes it a more serious offense, a first degree offense, if he places someone in danger of serious physical injury. I believe that the kernel of what happened in the Markland case was that the judge was reasoning, well, firefighters will respond in virtually all circumstances to a reported fire, so if the mere presence at the scene of a fire, of a firefighter, is enough to, quote, place another person in danger of serious physical injury, unquote, then there's always a first degree arson and there's never a second degree arson. And so the legislature probably didn't intend that result because they drew a distinction between the two offenses. So for purposes of this statute, a person does not include firefighter. I think, lady and gentlemen of the committee, what he intended to say was the mere presence at a fire of a firefighter does not convert automatically the offense into first degree arson. Rather than focusing on the degree of danger and whether actually someone was placed in danger, he focused on the definition of person, thereby excluding firefighter from the definition of person. And a judge actually did do that, and I have a copy of the jury instruction in that case. It's my opinion that that just may be a squirrely decision by a single judge in a single case. Nonetheless, I understand that the firefighters have a very serious concern about that, because if you have a fire where a firefighter actually is placed in danger of serious physical injury, say the roof collapses on them or there are exploding devices left inside the building, then you ought to be able to recognize that that's a more serious circumstance and perhaps the defendant ought to be chargeable with a more serious offense. Understanding the background of this proposed amendment to the statute, the Department of Law does not oppose this proposed amendment. But our concern was that by specifying firefighter, person means firefighter here, but not doing it elsewhere in all of the statutes where person is included, you might by implication be excluding firefighters from person in other circumstances, say like the assault statutes, for example, where you often use person. And the degree of seriousness depends on the injury to the person. Well, I don't think that this committee intends to take firefighters or any kind of emergency responders out of that definition. The Senate, in my opinion, pretty much cured this concern by the letter of intent which they passed in the Judiciary Committee at the same time that they passed the bill. And I don't know if committee members have that in front of them or not. It was printed in the journal and I have a copy with me. Basically, the letter of intent stated, It is not our intention to exclude firefighters from the definition of person anywhere else in the code. It is only our intention to make sure that future judges understand that person includes firefighter, to contradict the decision in the Markland case. So I would recommend to the committee that if you choose to adopt CS for Senate Bill 13 and recommend that it pass, that you also adopt, Mr. Chairman, a letter of intent from this committee, which is similar in language to the letter of intent adopted by the Senate Judiciary Committee, so that there's no question later on that your intent in this amendment was very limited and it does not intend to exclude firefighter from coverage anywhere else in the code. That's kind of long-winded, I apologize.
Representative Lipkin?
Gail, I'm just trying to figure out how we can use this letter of intent in regard to the statute.
Yes, sir.
All it is a backup, really. It would be a backup, but it wouldn't be in a statute.
No, sir, but when the court interprets the meaning of a term in a statute, if there is some kind of legislative background, testimony on the bill, or legislative intent, or like with the criminal code, a commentary that was actually adopted, the courts will look to that as an aid to interpretation of the term. And although this would not be binding on the court, it doesn't, of course, have the force of a statute,
yeah.
It would certainly be a valid aid in their interpretation as to your intent when you adopt this amendment. It would have legal effect, sir. Not binding, but it would definitely affect the court's interpretation of the change in the law.
Well, I'll yield to Representative Malone here, but I bet he's going to address this too, because I mean, this came up before when Representative Clarkson brought up here one day.
The first time I had the bill up, but so if I understand your testimony correctly, Ms. Rudzki, you believe that the Senate letter of intent makes it clear that because we're putting this elaboration of what another person or a person means into 1146-400 subsection A, that it will not have the effect of excluding various public safety personnel or other people who respond to emergencies and so forth from being considered as persons elsewhere in the statute. It won't have that reverse effect of inadvertently broadening this decision by who's the judge?
State versus Martin. Who's the judge?
Judge Taylor.
By Judge Taylor.
In Fairbanks.
It won't have the effect of broadening his decision or strengthening the impact of it in other areas of statute, but in fact would make it clear that in this part of the law, at least, when we're talking about people, we're including public safety personnel.
Mr.
Right?
Chairman, if I may. Representative Malone, I don't think this amendment would broaden Judge Taylor's decision in any case. What this amendment seeks to do is sort of overrule Judge Taylor's interpretation of the word person and just make it clear that he's wrong in that jury instruction. What I think the letter of intent would do is prevent a future defense attorney from arguing in a different case, perhaps in an assault case, well, the legislature did not intend to cover firefighters in person, because if they had meant to do that, they would have said so specifically. See, here in the arson statute, they did say so specifically.
And you're satisfied that the letter of intent accomplishes that?
Yes, sir.
In this case, the Markland case, you had an arson fire in which no one else was injured, but a fireman was injured, and they charged him with first degree?
No, sir. No one was actually injured. The statute does not require injury. It requires recklessly placing another person in danger of serious physical injury. The Markland case, it was an industrial warehouse type of a building, and there were propane tanks, big tanks of propane that the defendant had purposely lit, and then he left, so that when the firefighters came and responded and entered that building, there were a series of basically bombs waiting to explode by these propane tanks that were burning. And there was a big truck with all these tanks on it, and as the firefighters tried to get the tanks out of the building so then they could douse the big tanks, one of the tanks went out And that's what's very dangerous, is if it's burning, you don't have the explosion of the gas inside and the consequent explosion. So the firefighter actually very courageously went up to the tank and lit it again so that it would continue to burn while they eased the truck out of the building. But it was definitely a life-threatening situation. As a contrast to your average house fire where they stand outside and sort of put the hose on it and nobody, you're always in danger, perhaps, theoretically, but you're obviously in much more danger of serious physical injury if the guy has, in effect, left the building booby-trapped for the firefighters rather than, you know, just a house that catches fire from faulty wiring or something like that and it goes up the walls and then you have a blaze. So our position
is that... No, the ruling was this was not first degree.
The ruling, the instruction to the jury was, for purposes of first degree arson, a firefighter is not a person. Rather than saying, for looking at whether or not someone was placed in danger of serious physical injury, you shouldn't automatically assume that just because a firefighter was there, he or she was in danger. I think the judge had a sort of a valid concern, but he focused on the wrong avenue to address it. And because of that ruling, Mr. Markland was acquitted. He was not found guilty of any lesser included. He was out and out acquitted of first degree arson, which is what he was charged with. And that it was a miscarriage of justice, there's no question, in my opinion.
Now that I understand it, it took me two hearings to understand it. I guess I question whether the bill is good public policy. If you adopted the language in Senate Bill 13, I could make an excellent argument that any time you commit arson, anytime you light a fire under the circumstances that make it arson, there is a reasonable expectation that there's going to be a firefighter there. And in fact, firefighters don't just stand on the street and squirt water on it. They have to crawl on the buildings. They have to go inside. There is clearly severe danger in any kind of fire situation. If that's the case, then in effect, we have eliminated the crime of arson in the second degree, because there will be no circumstance that I can visualize that would not cause reckless endangerment, because it's reasonable to assume if I was an arsonist and lit a fire that a firefighter would come and fight it, and by fighting it would be endangering himself or herself. And I thought that was your testimony the first time around, that one of the problems with the legislation, faulty as it was that you would in effect make everything first degree arson and eliminate second degree arson.
I don't believe I said that.
All right, let me pose the question.
Okay.
Excuse me, that would be the effect.
Could I take a glance at the statute for a minute? I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm looking at
second degree. Obviously, okay. The difference between first degree and second degree is the reckless endangerment provision.
Well, there are a couple differences. One is arson in the second degree requires burning of a building. Okay, so if you burn a field or a car or something other than a building, I'm talking second degree, sir,
yeah.
You have only criminally negligent burning. If you set fire to a building, you have arson in the second. If you set fire to anything and thereby place a person in danger of serious physical injury, that's arson in the first. So you could set fire to a car, but if there's somebody inside the car asleep at the time you set it on fire, you have committed first-degree arson, okay? That there are differences in the elements of all three of those statutes. I understand, I believe, Representative Clausen, what you're saying, and it may be that the committee may wish to further expand upon what you mean, what the legislature means when it says, place another person in danger of serious physical injury. You may wish to say the mere presence of an emergency responder does not automatically constitute danger of serious physical injury.
That's exactly my concern, because I guess even your example, I could, as a prosecutor, justify never using second degree arson if this bill became law. You would never have to, because it covers any property, and any time a firefighter or anybody else ever comes out to a fire, which is assumed to be every time, you'd have first degree arson.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Representative Claxton, I understand what you're saying, and it is something that we've thought about. It's a valid point. I can only respond by way of my experience is that prosecutors in this state do not uniformly charge first degree arson every time there's a fire.
They will under this. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, sir, the only thing you're changing is adding that additional language. The statute reads the exact same way now, and we have always taken the position that a firefighter was a person. Taylor, Judge Taylor's the only one that thinks they're not. I mean, we have always thought a firefighter was a person.
What reason, then, if I can continue, what reason would a prosecutor under existing law not charge first-degree arson when a firefighter came out on the scene? Is it based on the assumption that they're not always in danger when they fight a fire?
The mere presence and fighting of a fire does not automatically place another person in danger of serious physical injury. You have to have facts that would establish that, in fact, that person was placed in danger of serious physical injury. He was crawling on the roof, for example, and he fell through, or a booby-trapped building. Those are sort of extraordinary circumstances.
But reckless doesn't require a booby trap, you understand? Right.
No, but you still have to have him in danger of serious physical injury.
I don't know if there's a firefighter here, but I would submit that if a firefighter heard that interpretation, they'd be concerned. My understanding of the concern of the firefighters was they want to be protected. They want extra penalty when they go out and get hurt fighting a fire.
Sure. If they get hurt, then it is first degree.
Said it's not getting hurt. It's placing a person in danger.
Serious physical injury. Right.
And I've seen firefighters in action. And that's one of the scariest things there is to do to fight a fire. I would submit that any fire, any time, any place, puts a person in danger of serious physical injury.
Well, if that is the case, sir, I'm not certain I follow you. So what?
Then this bill would, in effect, repeal second degree arson because you'd never prosecute for anything other than first degree.
Sir, this amendment is not doing anything other than saying to the judge, you're wrong about Markland. Right now, firefighters are people. There have been numerous judges that have so instructed in other cases. Markland is an aberration. Right now, firefighters are people. If you're saying if firefighters are people, there's no difference between first and second degree, which I don't agree with, then there is right now under current law no difference.
Okay, let me pose it another way. I'm the prosecutor, and I have a case where a firefighter came out, walked on the roof of a burning building, was not injured, and it was an arson fire. The question in my mind is, do I charge it as first degree and second or second degree? You say that presently they probably charge it as second
degree. Depend on the fact that I think they might charge it first.
All right, I want a hypothetical that would have been charged as second under the existing procedure. A firefighter comes out, breaks in the door to see if anybody's there, and then leaves.
And sprays the house from outside?
Right, sprays the house.
That might well be charged as second.
If I were that prosecutor, I would look at new legislation from the legislature, and I would say, now, why did they do this? They intended to include fire and police service personnel. That means a fire and police service personnel person was there. I think I'm going to charge you as first degree arson.
That's why I think the letter of intent is important.
But the letter of intent doesn't address that.
Well, the letter of intent says we're trying to overrule Markland. The letter of intent does not address what is place another person in danger of serious physical injury. That's true. And another avenue is that you could add another paragraph to the letter of intent.
In fact, I would argue that my position is supported by the letter of intent. Read the one to the fourth paragraph. Second sentence. The committee substitute for Senate Bill 13 would make clear that for purposes of Section 400, public safety personnel and public employees responding to emergencies are persons whose reckless endangerment by another who intentionally causes a fire could be the basis for a prosecution under the statute.
If they are recklessly in danger of serious physical injury as a result of an intentional fire, they could be charged, the person could be charged as first degree. Could be the basis of a prosecution under, don't say must be first degree or is always first degree.
Well, maybe it's a small point.
I didn't write that letter,
concerned,
so I see what you're saying.
I'm concerned that that this will be read as saying to prosecutors, anytime there's a firefighter there, we want to prosecute it as first degree. And I'm just not sure.
I would be concerned at that result if it was taken that way.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman, I think the point that Representative Foxon makes is a good one. I don't think it's the intent of the Senate Bill 13 to, in effect, repeal arson other than arson in the first degree. And I don't think that the letter of intent come from the Senate covers that. On the other hand, if somebody sets a fire that is really so dangerous, and is deliberately setting a fire that is so dangerous that they know or should know when they're doing it that very likely that the firefighters are going to be placed in severe jeopardy. I think that is first to be arson. I think they would agree with that. I just think we need to find a way to make that clear. Some lights on fire, bomb plant, well, that surely would be first degree arson. On the other hand, if somebody decided to burn up the whole car, might not be, even though there's a gas tank there that might explode. I mean, hard to know about those things. So I don't know. I think there's a problem not with the letter of intent, but with the bill. We have to solve it.
Okay, Jessica?
Gail, on this, on the change on this, for example, how would you read this regardless of rank? Why would that be inserted in there? You know, what part would it play, a part of the change in that?
Sure, I don't know. I know there is a gentleman here from the Fire Chiefs Association. Maybe he could answer that. The Department of Law did not propose this amendment. In fact, he initially opposed it.
Oh, I see.
But then when I understood the reason why it was being made, I can understand, because of the Markland case, why the firefighters would be up in arms about it.
Well, I just asked a question because apparently you had reviewed this, and was this brought up before?
No, sir. Not to my knowledge. It was not.
I think the reason they put the rank in there is that in the fire department, they have firefighters.
Uh-huh.
And they have, other than firefighters, who are firemen. And because of the Markland thing, they wanted to cover anybody at the scene of the fire as being covered as a person. As I understand it from fire people, that's the intent, that's why it's written the way it is. And I don't wish to belabor this, but under Representative Fox's interpretation of danger, obviously when they got in the fire truck and left the fire hall, it would be a Class A felony because they're running fast down the road, and obviously the danger was present right there. So, in no way in the world can you construe legislation like this to mean that. And nor can you say because a fireman crawls on a roof, he's in imminent danger. He's in imminent danger if there's fire under the roof, and he may fall through it. But that's a determination that somebody makes.
A factual determination.
That's right. And firemen are somewhat paramilitary like police. And literal interpretation of what's danger for you and for me is not made, is not the same for them. And you could argue all day that it would have to be a judge that thought somewhat like you that would agree with that sort of thing. It's just not there. And you could write legislation that was 9 pages long and never meet the tests that you could dream up in hypothetical situations.
Mr. Chairman, I never cease to be amazed at the crazy decisions that judges come up with, and Markland 1 is a case in point. I mean, that's a crazy
thing. Yeah, as I read the statute, I don't see how he arrived at the point, except that the fire chiefs would like to have some wording added to make sure that can't happen again. And as long as the Markland case is on the books, there are attorneys out there who will then take that into court and say that firefighters simply aren't covered. Representative Foxon may well be one of those people that would be right there saying that, look here, the Markland case proves that it doesn't pay, or it doesn't cover it.
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Foxon has a valid point. I think it might be the addition of another paragraph to the letter of intent might adequately address that concern. I'm not sure. Or the committee may want to consider additional language.
Well, I tend to be a little bit like Representative Malone. I think you can write letters of intent till whatever, and they don't have any force, nor are they part of law. or we ought to structure the statute itself so that it precludes anybody having to use a letter of intent. And certainly we can go back, as long as this point's been raised, and we can go back and fix the statute to remove that, so that we don't have to write 7-page long letters of intent that somebody can decide whether they what we meant when we did it.
Well, of course, letters of intent are legitimate expressions of legislative intent if they've been voted on by both bodies. And I have already expressed to this group that I think drafting better legislation is better than letters of intent. But I have drafted two sentences that, if added to a letter of intent, would absolutely, I think, eliminate any concern that I might have. This is rough. But it is not the intent of the legislature that prosecution for arson in the first degree will occur every time a public safety personnel or public employee responds to an emergency. Otherwise, there would be no need for the crime of arson in the second degree. Just simply say that in a letter of intent.
But see, I guess everybody's reads things different, and back to the letter of intent again on paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just the first couple of sentences, as far as I'm concerned, say the same thing. There is no such intention. Rather, the committee wishes to cure a specific problem which arose in a specific setting in the one section of Title 11. They really say that it's a specific thing, tied it to that. I have no quarrel with adding, if it makes it more palatable for you to add it to the letter of intent, but I still wonder if we shouldn't go back and rethink the legislation and actually tie it down to the statute without the letter of intent a little better. I got some things going on in my mind right now. I don't exactly know how we can do that, but it seems to me like if we spend a few quiet minutes trying to rethink the statute itself, we can cure it.
Well, let me just ask maybe the chairman or members of the committee, or maybe you, Ms. Horesky, but is the intention of this committee with regard to this legislation to say that there are only certain circumstances where a firefighter coming to a fire will trigger first degree arson rather than second degree arson?
I think the present statute says that.
That's our interpretation.
It's not the intent of this committee to interfere with what the present statute expresses. And clearly the present statute says that to me. That there are two kinds of arson, first and second.
Yeah. It's not the intention of this committee then to say that every time a firefighter comes to a fire, that makes it a first-degree arson.
I don't happen to think that the substitute says that either.
What I'm saying is it's an open question, and that just adds to more potential litigation.
Don, maybe we can further clarify this. Now, arson actually is something burning, right?
Yeah.
So burning up a person's field of grain out there would be considered arson.
That's right.
The only danger you'd be placing really in something like that, the court attorney could misconstrue it around, but really the only danger he'd be involved in is on his way to that fire in case he wrecked the water pumper truck or something like that.
No, you could, in your example, you could set a field on fire by running around the edge of it and lighting the edge when there are people doing something in the middle. That's first degree arson, right? But if you look at the field and you determine there's nobody there, and then light an arson fire, it seems to me that in most circumstances that's second degree arson.
Well, no, sir, because you have to have a building for second degree. That would be criminally negligent burning.
All right, we call it third degree or?
No, criminally negligent burning.
Criminally negligent. Wouldn't be.
Yeah, or if you set a woods on fire and the fire got out of hand and went into a subdivision,
right.
All of a sudden the crime changed.
Good. If I might respond to Representative Klassen's suggestion, I have no problem with the addition of additional language. I know you wrote it hurriedly. I don't think it's a fair statement of what we've been talking about, because you say, in other words, there'd be no need for second degree. Second degree only covers buildings, for one thing, and first degree covers everything if a person is in danger. So if the committee wants to adopt additional language, I can even volunteer to try to draft something up and to submit it.
I am inclined to agree with the chairman that if we could fix it in the bill, it'd be a lot cleaner.
You could add a definition for what placing in danger of serious physical injury is. I mean, you could do that. I don't have one ready to hand you, but it could be done.
I don't need it, but I'd rather do it in a bill than I would to a doggone letter from Camp Riverside, Mr.
Yeah, I have a question on that, Gail. You say a burning of a building would be first degree?
No, burning of a building is second degree, sir. But if you place someone in danger of serious physical injury, like if he's in the building when you set it on fire, then that's first degree. It moves it from second up to first.
Well, I'll take an automobile
for example. From criminally negligent burning up to first.
Right. Let's take an automobile for example. I don't know if you mentioned automobiles earlier. I don't recall what text you mentioned.
It wouldn't be second degree because it's not a building. It might be criminally negligent burning.
But we're addressing firefighters here. Say an individual has got it in for somebody on a fire department. He goes out there and sets his automobile on fire, and they're going to respond to it. Well, that's the burn automobile like a time bomb anyway, you know, for the gasoline tanks on. So you'd be placing the firefighters in jeopardy by intentionally setting that automobile on fire. So the law wouldn't address him as first degree arson because it's not a building. That's my question.
No, first degree arson covers any fire which places someone in danger of serious physical injury.
Okay, that answers my question. Thanks.
Any fire. Second degree doesn't cover any fire, it only covers building fires. I know Mr. Haig probably wants to address that.
Mr. Haig is here,
and
he might want to address the committee and after that, we may want to decide exactly how we want to treat it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief.
Mr. Haig,
I'm sure everybody knows.
Since we are recording electronically, I'll have to ask you to state your name for the record and then proceed in the manner such as you know.
My name is E. Robert Haig, and I represent the Alaska State Firefighters Association and the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. We're appearing today before you to support Senate Bill 13. Now, at the beginning, Mr. Chairman, I am not a lawyer. And my legal counsel over here and John over on the other side and the judge can best answer those. Our interest is to get into the statute or into law something that would eliminate what occurred several years back. And the original bill, Representative Malone's information, why was the words fire, police service personnel, or others, regardless of rank? The original bill by Senator Ziegler just had the words not limited to a fire protection officer, underlined fire protection officer, police officer, or other public employee who responds to the fire explosion. I think Mr. Chairman mentioned something similar to that. A fire protection officer could be one of command rank. A firefighter is one. Now, we also have emergency responder, which could mean John Jones right off of the street, who is asked by the chief or a command officer to come and assist. He would then be involved. And we suggest that the words fire and police service personnel or other public employee who responds to emergencies regardless of rank, functions, or duties being performed. And then, of course, the Senate Substitute Committee came out quite similar to that, and they included other public employees or who respond to emergencies regardless of rank. That was the reason for that, to represent them. Mr. Chairman, I know you've got a busy schedule, and I would prefer the legal aspect to be handled by the lawyers on here, and we would be glad to provide any information from the fire service for your committees or your staff that you might wish.
Thank you, Mr. Haig.
Fox? You've heard the discussion here. Let me pose two hypotheticals and ask which is more consistent with your position with regard to this legislation. One hypothetical is a fire in a house, arson fire, and the firefighter comes out to the house and extinguishes the blaze without being injured. Under the first hypothetical, that would be arson in the first degree because of the danger that the firefighter was subjected to. The second hypothetical is the same fact situation. Arson, fire, the firefighter comes out to the house, fights the fire, is not injured. That would be second degree arson because he experienced no particular danger. He didn't climb on the roof, he didn't have to enter a burning house, he didn't have to put out a burning bomb, the situation we've had described in Markland. So in that case, it would be prosecuted as second degree arson. Same factual situation. What is the position of your organization? Do you wish that to be first degree arson because in all cases a firefighter is endangered, or only in some unique cases is a firefighter endangered and thereby it should be first degree?
To answer specifically, that would be a legal aspect of it. However, looking at it from an old-time firefighter, I think a fireman, a peace officer, or emergency responder, anybody else who encounters an action of that nature is necessarily going to be in danger. Representative over there mentioned a car fire. It might just be a car fire, but it's a time bomb. Just as much as a building, an empty building, you put it on fire and you go in, whether you have emergency people or whether you have paid firemen or volunteers. There's a time bomb in there that could happen. Who knows what's in that building? There's a couple of bills coming up later in the legislature having to do with toxic materials, hazardous materials. And this is a concern of the fire chiefs in the state of Alaska. They're going to support that kind of legislation because we don't know what's inside of that building unless there's some specific identification. So no matter how you look at it, there's always a possibility of danger to the firefighter, whether the court would say first degree or second degree if it comes to a case in hand before the judge.
Okay, but it's your view that there's always, under the language of the bill, danger of serious physical injury every time you go to a fire?
I personally would say that, yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Hayes, you would have any problem if we just throw a section of clarification on the end of this or another definition to it?
Well, I think the counselor's intent over here, first a letter of intent, and then what I'm hearing from your committee, that there, a letter of intent has some meaning to it in some cases, and again it doesn't in another. The fact that you're, Mr. Chairman, we're talking about putting in legislation maybe is a much better proposition than letters of intent. I think the letter of intent by the Senate Judiciary Committee was to clarify the reasoning for the words and why the bill was introduced in the first place.
Yeah, I clearly understand. I just personally feel that if we put a definition in there and had it all in statute, and I feel a lot better about it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree. The only thing, and I heard some of the representatives here mention, you can begin to write words and words and words and have a dozen pages,
yeah,
and you're still in the same situation that you were originally with one or two words. I have no objection, Mr. Chairman.
How do I get a hold of you?
I'll leave it with your staff.
I don't want to start a fire to find you.
You burn all your tape.
Don't call 3,000. That's what I want.
Are you drafting quick?
Well, I started to, but then it gets real hard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to suggest that we have legal counsel take this matter under advisement to report back to us what needs to be done.
Great.
Well, I think we can write a fairly short, concise definition and whether we may even want to go back and just put some lines in the other statute and almost change it completely. But we'll take a look at it. And it is our intention to deal with this rather quickly. We have a situation there that could repeat itself, and that was the reason for using the Senate vehicle. It's already had the work done over there to get it done very quickly. Chances of it happening again are rather remote, but we certainly want to avoid it if at all possible.
should be done by someone who smokes.
I don't know that that comment's going to do too much of the legislation.
Might get him hit.
Stand in line. If we have a busy afternoon and a house party to begin this afternoon, if there's nothing further to come before this meeting at this time, we'll adjourn to 1:30 Monday and thank you much.